So just wanted to kind of share that as we kind of, as we go in to this discussion. So what the, you know, what I handed out here was basically a one pager. This is going to essentially mirror or correspond to what we're going to put on the website. And it just points to some of the main areas around emergency preparedness and what we can do to plan for it and prepare for it. So I'll just start out kind of this overview that's kind of corresponds what could happen besides, you know, earthquake, tsunami. There's other things that certainly could happen in this area, landslide, floods, windstorms, power outages, and as it says, pandemic illness or terrorist attacks. And actually, one thing recently in some of the discussions I've had with some of the local emergency preparedness teams in Jefferson County is they're looking into this threat that the whole Bonneville power grid could be shut down through a terrorist attack. And they said that could last for 6 months. And we get, all the power for Jefferson County comes from Bonneville, you know, in most of this whole area. So, you know, there's multiple things to be prepared for. So, let's see. So, another thing I just wanted to point out, actually, Jerry and Penny shared this with me. This was an insert, a supplement to the Peninsula Daily News. And actually, I have a soft copy of this, but it was a great, more thorough guide and provides, you know, links also to other vendors. I mean, it does have advertisements, but 25 pages.
That was a supplement in a paper.
Right.
Could you call the paper and see if they could make multiple copies of the supplement available to us?
Well, I was able to download it because I have an online subscription to. So, I mean, I could ask them if it's okay if we could just share it, you know, off of our website.
I think that would be helpful.
Yeah.
And that's probably without
advertising. Right. So, let's see. There was another article in the Peninsula Daily News that Pat Neal wrote. He's a fishing guy, but I thought I'd just quickly read this and share it because it's kind of lighthearted and funny, but yet it points out about why some of the things to prepare. And he was saying this marks the 318th anniversary of the January 36, 1700 Cascadia subduction event that produced a magnitude 9 megathrust earthquake and associated tsunami. So it starts out, I hate waterbeds. They always seem to be moving when you're trying to lie still. Then I woke up in the middle of the night with the bed jumping up and down like a waterbed. The whole house was moving and creaking like it was breaking apart. The next thing I knew, it was raining. That didn't make sense until I noticed a gaping hole in the roof where the water was pouring in like a cold shower. I found a tipped over lamp and tried to turn it on, but the power was out. I fumbled in the dark and jumbled tipped over furniture for a flashlight until I found my cell phone. I tried to turn it on, but the battery was dead. I guess I should have charged it up. Without it, I had no idea what time it was. The brain struggled for an explanation of what had just happened. Was it a nuclear war the politicians are always threatening us with? A gas explosion, earthquake? There had to be some explanation. I turned on the radio to get some news. The radio was dead. I should have got one with batteries. Walking barefoot in the dark in the squalor of my house was always a challenge, but with everything tipped upside down, I kept bumping into stuff. And then it happened. I stepped on a fish hook. I must have left my tackle box open. Now it's spread out all over the floor. Amid the pain and panic, I stepped on another one. As much as I hate fishing with barbless hooks, they are easier to pull out of your hide than the ones with the barbs still on. That was okay. I had a pair of pliers in the toolbox in my truck, if I could find my truck. A tree had fallen on it. The doors were smashed, so I couldn't get in, or I couldn't get them open. I felt my way back into the house and hobbled over to a dry corner where it didn't seem to be raining. There was only one thing left to do. wait till dawn. This seemed to take a very long time. My feet were throbbing. There was no sound coming from the outside. After what seemed like forever, it started to get light. In the gray light of dawn, the devastation was shocking, even for my house. But first things first, what I really needed was a hot cup of coffee. And then getting the fish hooks out of my feet. I tried the faucet, but only a trickle of rusty water came out. Then I remembered the toilet had water, enough for coffee anyway. I could boil it with my camping stove, but the camping stove was out of fuel. I was getting hungry. I checked the fridge. There was a half bottle of ketchup, some mustard, slimy bundle of kale. All I had in the freezer was a dozen herring and some cured salmon eggs that I usually use for bait. Things looked really grim. Then I woke up. It had been a dream. I thought it might be a good idea to get ready for this abduction event. Okay. So I brought some. So the first on this page here talks about e-prep planning. And, you know, there's some great organizations, these neighborhood preparedness groups that are in all of our counties. And actually, like Port Ludlow, the village center here, they have people that are volunteers that really drive that, have regular meetings. They do practices and so on. Port Townsend has a very active group. Maristone Island has a very active group. I'm trying to start one up in my neighborhood, which is more Swansonville up the ridgeline here. But there's great resources there. There's some links here that just basically we'll have on the site. For example, I have a link at the bottom, this Think, Plan, Do, Repeat guide for e-prep planning. That's a great one. You know, if you can download that, you know, from the site and just use that relative to each individual family planning, that's a great start. The next thing, and also just to emphasize that, it's like, yeah, involve your family, you know, in the e-prep planning, just, you know, that's just so that everybody knows what's going on and prepare for it and even practice for it.
John, along those lines, one of the things they often encourage us to do is develop your evacuation plan and know where you're going to meet up and who to call.
How
are you going to call your family members? And,
right.
You know, all of that, all of these things, guys, I think are important for us to think through, to talk through, to plan. We can be, number one, spiritually prepared, but we're facing a day where these kinds of possibilities do happen. Take a look at the floods and the disasters that have occurred just in our last year. Mm-hmm. And I think it's wisdom for us.
Right. And there are, again, there's these, just emphasizing these great resources that are out there. You know, we can reach out to them and, you know, get involved if you want to, or be part of, like, they have sometimes these practice events. So that would be a good way to just deal with this. And then the next item I have on here is just, again, food, water supplies, and tools planning. And there's some great, call them outlines, checklists, what you can do, again, to prepare, having a grab-and-go bag, which is should you need to evacuate. You know, basically what you would need to get by for at least 3 days. But in the case of something like a major subduction event, you know, they're talking about being prepared for 30 days. I've talked to some of the local emergency preparedness people, and they're even saying, like, for Port Ludlow, they think this Hope Bay Road, there's going to be major sections of it gone. And so they're even looking at, you know, evac just via boat. And I know I was at one meeting here, and one of the guys, he said, well, I'll just drive down to my boat and get on my boat. And he's like, he lives up on Teal Road, and you're like, you might not be able to do that. or your boat could be up in the trees. You know? So there's some things just to think about that. So on the site, we have, some links to some online resources, including even just like Costco that sell emergency preparedness kits. I brought this as a sample. This is more for backpacking, foods, Mountain House. So this is like 29 servings. And yeah, this is something like that. You can just heat up a cup of water, put that in each one of these units, freeze dried, and lasts for a long time. Just as a sample, there's we at our house, you know, I've got a combination of this type of freeze dried food. We buy a lot of like bulk beans and grains and store them in these plastic, what do you call it, food safe, you know, 5 gallon buckets with the top on it. And then also, you know, I have a set of MREs, meals ready to eat, which is more from, you know, military, and you can get through those through military surplus. And yeah, I was thinking about our beans the other week, and if you remember Bob and Barbara's story about the pinto beans, and I was saying, you know what, where's my pressure cooker pot? I said, where's the earthquake? And I know where the beans are. I know where my camp stove is and food, but where's my pressure? So I found that, and I said, I'm going to leave this with the beans. I get there, I'll be able to cook them up. Okay, so yeah, so anyway, there's other links out there for other suggestions, what you can look out, you know, go into purchase. Again, we're not really advocating which one's going to be best for you. Just go out there and look and see what's available. Right. Yeah, we're going to talk about, communications. That's just it. You know, kind of moving on to the next one. You know, as this talks about there, develop a plan that will allow you to, you know, to stay informed about, you know, with your family members, especially following a disaster. Again, the expectation is normal phone and wireless, you know, could definitely be out for a long time. I brought in some other props here. These emergency preparedness teams, you know, have basically created these local phone or communications networks. So these family radio service or FRS radios, they're pretty cheap. And basically, so, you know, they're encouraging people to have one. They're kind of limited in distance, but like in Port Ludlow, during an emergency, they said, okay, channel 7, everybody, if you want to communicate with somebody, use that channel. And, you know, we have, those are available. And then they're kind of connected with the ham radio operators. Do you have a question, Chair? Let's see it. Well, I just recently bought a pair of Midland ones at Fred Meyer's, and they were like, I'm saying like less than $50, and that was for two.
For two?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of different combinations, but there's even cheaper ones than that.
What's the distance?
It's still kind of line of sight. So if you've got, you know, other terrain, it you know, potentially would, you know, be limited, but
ham radio.
Ham radio. Well, even there we have challenges, right?
Ham radio operators.
Dan and Roxanne. Dan, Roxanne, and I just got mine. So, yeah. So this is a sample of a handheld ham radio, and I've got this programmed into like a lot of the local emergency repeaters, like in Port Townsend and Maristone Island, and. So, you know, that's just another at distance. You know, the idea again is, you know, they've got people that are monitoring, I can monitor the FRS stations on this, but not, I'd blow them out if I tried to communicate with the ham radio, but then I would use this to communicate locally, like with neighbors. So that's the idea. And yeah, if anybody wants to talk about that more, we can offline. So, yeah, and also kind of it emphasizes here, establish an out-of-area contact and a family reunification plan. Let's see, I've been in 3 earthquakes, 2 in Northern California, and then this Nisqually quake here was the last one, but one of them I was driving and, you know, the road went liquid. But, you know, you want to have have something in your vehicle too. You know, I usually carry a small backpack with kind of the Boy Scouts 10 essentials in them and, you know, some extra food and water, of course, and just keep an extra pair of walking shoes in the, you know, your vehicle in case you do need to walk some distance. And that, and then just, again, know how you're going to communicate with your family members or how you're going to sync up. I would even encourage them, if they're away, to have one of these. If they get nearby, saying, okay, we can try to communicate if we can't get connected via our mobile phones or wireless phones. Let's see.
And stuff for your pets.
For your pets. In fact, yeah, I was just talking with good idea was just talking with somebody else that's part of the one of the NPREP groups, and she was saying, okay, I'm going to do one, made a kind of a New Year's resolution. I'm going to do one thing a month to get prepared. So she just made a food stash for her pets. Like last month or this month is just like, okay, I'm not going to do this all at once, but I'm going to just kind of take that approach. Sure, yeah.
I learned over the course of some of the job history that I have about the triangle of life during an earthquake or something where your house is crumbling, you know, or your workplace. And it's, I'm going to stand up and kind of demonstrate it a little bit. It's like when your house, maybe the roof is falling in or something is crumbling, you want to get like on the floor next to your bed if it's in
right.
The night. You want to stay next to the bed because the bed, you know, the stuff falling down is going to go like this on top of the bed. Hopefully
right.
The bed won't cave. But next to, you know, crouch next to a refrigerator or a washer dryer, something that's going to
kind of
create this triangle.
Kind of help shelter you. Get it like in a door frame, interior door frame. A lot of times that has extra support in it.
Yeah, although I was taught in this demonstration that we had that that door frames might come down too. It maybe isn't the safest place to be, but to try to find something really heavy that you can get next to.
Right.
And have some oxygen in there.
Right.
Until they oftentimes say during rescues that they find people alive in those areas, in those triangles.
Excellent area.
Yeah, that's good.
Good. So.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned in here too, like you mentioned about getting by your bed, you know, keep some extra things under your bed.
Yeah.
You know, obviously just things like an extra lamp, flashlight.
Yeah, sure.
My mom told me not to hide candy under my bed.
You might still need some work to help get you through.
But yeah, the point is, laying next to the bed, there's that space where stuff's going to...
Right.
You're going to have that triangle of space there.
Exactly.
Yeah, perfect.
Or, you know, after having learned that, I trained the girls in the bank when I was working in a bank. To get down next to the vault, or we had a cash dispenser too, and that was another place. But
that's good.
Some place that's strong.
If you keep food under your bed, the mouses might move in.
That's true.
If you need it, it won't be there.
Yeah, that's right.
Be sure it's sealed.
Might keep it sealed up or something.
Yeah. Continue.
The next item just, you know, talks about preparing your home like that, and that's the other thing. Just going through your home, you know, if you have tall furniture, obviously things like just securing them to the wall, so you know things don't fall over. You know, just other objects that are more fragile that could break or fall on you. Those types of things. You know, I know. I mean, it just depends how far, you know, you want to go. I mean, I've got a, you know, generator that, you know, of course, that works off of either propane or regular unleaded, gasoline. Yep. And they're pretty typical now. And then, yeah, and then I kind of keep, you can get kind of food grade plastic or just these large glass carboys, like to keep water in. And then, you know, there's other, you know, things that you can use to disinfect the water if you can't filter it. I've got a 2,500 gallon water tank that I use for irrigation. So, but then again, like, oh, man, what if a tree falls? could go up. But anyway, that, yeah, just to kind of, you know, think about that too. And there's some good planning ideas in the, you know, from some of these links that we provided, you know, to consider. I guess just moving on here, I got a line item here that secure your financial and important documents. So there's actually a kit there. They call it, you know, a emergency financial first aid kit. There's a link to that. And it's, again, more of a checklist. What, you know, what are your important documents? How are you going to store them? You know, maybe you want to through another family member or some financial contact that you have, you know, other family members would know, you know, how to get to that information and, you know, just be able to take things with you. You know, I kind of keep real key things, even in one of those. Some people have, you know, of course, larger safes or fireproof safes. I just have, you know, kind of one of those smaller fireproof safes for key financial documents that's somewhat, you know, portable. Yeah, and so then the bottom of this one pager, and this again will be online once we launch it off of the website. Just some key links there. You know, this Think, Plan, Do, Repeat guide is good. Basic preparedness kit. You know, a grab and go. That would be, again, if should you need to evacuate, and just you know, I backpacker, so I've got a backpack. You know, basically ready to go, including with food and extra water and camp stoves and so on. You know, the link to the emergency financial first aid kit. And then I put a link there to the Jefferson County Local 2020 Neighborhood Preparedness. That's the main organization in Jefferson County, but each county has their own. I know many of us, you know, live over in Kitsap or Poulsbo or Squim or other places, and, you know, they've got their own emergency preparedness and neighborhood preparedness groups to get in touch with. And anybody needs help getting in touch with those people, I certainly would be available to try to help them do that. Yes?
What
about
high ground?
I mean, if there were a tsunami,
wouldn't everyone want to head to the highest ground? You know where those locations are in each?
Yeah, well.
Come up to us.
Right. I mean. Yeah. I mean, there are what we call these tsunami evacuation routes, and you know, those are kind of are posted online, you know, to try to get up there. And again, you know, different place coastal areas have the tsunami warning. Oh, have the tsunami warning, even sirens and alerts that you can, you know, go out for, you know, for that. I know, like, well. One emergency prep guy that I know from lives on Maristone Island. So they're like, well, if big one happens, that bridge goes down. You know, we could, you know, we're going to just try to go to the highest places that we can get to on that island, because they definitely are in a place that's, you know, has a potential for tsunamis, you know, to hit. And that, and a lot of, even some of these places, they already have mapped out what are the highest risk areas along the different, even you know, along the coastlines here in the Puget Sound and elsewhere.
So years ago, I was at a seminar that talked about the liquefaction of our basalt under rocks all here in the peninsula, and I don't know if it's still the case, but for instance, where we are, they were saying that if there was a massive earthquake and a tsunami came, it would come down the straits from the Port Angeles direction and go on over to Anacortes. We would see a rise of maybe a few inches where we are, rather than a big tsunami coming across and crashing out. If a tsunami came out and crashed us out, we would just plan on seeing it in heaven. But I think that our area may be, in certain spots anyway, a little less subject to the liquefaction because of the basalt underlayment that we have. Is that what you've all heard as well?
Yeah, and there are some of these maps, again, through some of these links that actually kind of have things mapped out and with different colors, like, you know, yellow, red, you know, like red ones being these would be potentially the higher risk areas for tsunamis, you know, in and around this area. And does anybody remember in the 1980s what was the, in the case of a nuclear threat, what was the evacuation plan for Seattle? No, they were gonna take all the metro buses and load all the people from Seattle and bus them over to Yakima. Really? Now, does anybody here think that's gonna work? I'm saying no. But that was their evacuation plan. So I don't know how people in Yakima would feel about that.
I think Dr. Haney got it right on that type of disaster. Pray up, look up, because you're going up.
That's right. There you go. Right. 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 Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Verm. Actually, there was a question I had maybe for you with your background, but I was one of the emergency preparedness people told me that, like, Bangor or even some of these, you know, the ships can shut down all the wireless communications in the area. Yeah, they have that ability. If they want to make that decision, they can just say, you know, for whatever reason, it's, you know, so you're kind of on your own. Yeah, because they were telling there was some ship was, you know, getting ordnance there on Indian Island, and they have to turn that on, and all of a sudden, all the port towns in that area, nobody could use their cell phones. They were shut down temporarily till they turned them back on. So, yeah. Yeah, so, all right. So, okay, any other questions or, all right, well.
Some of you have already purchased some food supplies. You want to take just a quick minute and share about the sites you use? Are you available if people have some further follow-up questions?
Absolutely.